I want to thank Wayne for just sharing the process that we have just taken last Tuesday, because part of the process that we have taken last Tuesday was an inspiration for me to preach this series of sermon about Thrive. And you will hear more about this when we get to that part. And also part of the things that also inspired me about Plank Chapel is that we are doing whatever it takes for this church to be a thriving and a growing church. Amen? We have seen the evidence of that. And I celebrate and remember the saints of the church that have laid the foundation of whose we are and why we are all here. So let me be straightforward to acknowledge that indeed without the saints of the church that have gone ahead of us and those who are continually coming as lay leaders of this church, what an amazing way of how we are moving towards becoming more growing and more thriving. We have seen that in many ways. As what Wayne has said, the journey is just an evidence of God's generosity and faithfulness. We've seen this in Stronger Together. We've seen this in Coffee Corner. We've seen this in the Connect Church. All of this are just some of the ways on how we are really coming together to make our church truly a vibrant, thriving, and a growing church. So I commend each one of you. And that being said, I want to say that God wants us to thrive. Can we hear amen, church? Amen. Individually, you were meant to struggle, not to struggle together or not to struggle forever, making it through the week or through day. We are not meant to feel the weight of the world. We are not meant to be hampered by anxieties and worriness and fear, because these are work of the enemy. We are meant to have life. We are designed to live an abundant life. And this is the promise of our eternal Savior. We are meant to point to the one hope, the one true source of our joy and our peace and our contentment. And his name is Jesus. And because Jesus wants us to thrive in each of our lives, he also wants his church to thrive. He wants all Christian churches to thrive. After all, this is his church. When a church is thriving, when a church is vibrant and growing, people are being saved because they are coming to the Lordship of Christ. Disciples are being formed and they are being sent into the world to impact the community and transform the world. That is why the bishops, the cabinet, the district superintendents, all pastors and lay leaders in this conference, they've been in conversation about what it means to be a thriving church since arriving in this conference more than 27 years ago. And even now, we've been always putting thriving congregation as the priority of this conference. That is why the mission statement of the conference is healthy congregations, effective leaders in every place, making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. In other words, God wants Plank Chapel to thrive. And we need to remember the saints of the church who laid the foundation from generation to generation so that we can continue on to be a thriving church. And as I've said, we need to commend our lay leadership and church members who are, each one of you who are doing whatever it takes for us to continue on to move us towards becoming a growing and a thriving church. And so today, we're going to be starting a six-week sermon series entitled Thrive. We're going to dive into God's Word and understand more what the Bible has to say and how we can be a thriving church. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we are open to hear your Word. Fill us with your Spirit. May we listen to what you're going to say to us. And may I be decreased and decreased so that you can be increased and increased. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask this question to you all. What is the most significant community that you ever part of? It could be a high school group. Could be your sports team. What is the most significant community that you are always wanting to be part of? That you are passionate to be together? Can we hear any witness? Family. That was said at Bethel Church this morning. What else? If you're worshiping online, you can just put it in the chat room. What is the particular community that you are always passionate to be part of? The church. Anybody else? Any organizations? Can be a workplace. What have you noticed in and what draws you so much to that community?
Love and acceptance.
Sense of belonging. You're being welcomed. You're being valued, right? Anybody else? Well, the writer of the book of Acts is bringing us into this direction about this early Christian community that are so passionate and so connected together that they want to hang out together. They want to lead each other. They want to, through thick or thin, they build this relationship together. And we're diving in the book of Acts, but want to give you a little backdrop as to you'll see first where we are in terms of the context of this particular text. As you all know, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus rose from the dead and spent 40 days with his disciples, if you remember that, preparing them to go and proclaim the gospel to all nations. And after this, Jesus commissioned his disciples and promised to send the Holy Spirit. And he ascended into heaven to be enthroned in the right hand of God the Father. And after Jesus' ascension, the disciples, 120 of them, gathered in prayer, awaiting the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, from verses 1 to 41, shortly after Jesus' ascension, God sent what? The Holy Spirit upon the disciples as they were praying. And that's where Pentecost came about. That's the Pentecost day that we are remembering year after year. When this happened, Peter stood in the streets of Jerusalem and proclaimed the gospel. And on that day, about 3,000 people believed in Christ. And they were what? They were baptized. That was the birth of the church. That's the beginning of what we called the Christian church. And now we come on verses 42 to 47. Immediately after the birth of this, what we call Acts 2 church, Luke gives us a description of the church immediately after the Pentecost. And this church appears to be the most alive, the most vibrant, and the most thriving in the entire history of the church as we know it. First, Luke gives us a description of what a thriving church looks like. He says in verse 42, I want to invite you again to look on verse 42. What did he say there? They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of what? Bread and prayers. Okay, let's stop there for a while. When you are devoting yourself to something, what does that look like? I'll be in a teaching mode now. When you said, I'm devoting myself to this, how does that look like? You're committed 100%, even more than 100%. You're investing, right? Your energy, your time, you're passionate. That's your driving force. In other words, this whole bunch of early Christians, they are doing whatever they're doing themselves. They're doing whatever it takes for them to absorb Jesus' teaching. They're learning what it means to be the followers of Jesus. They're learning about his life, about his ministry. They're learning about the sacrifice that he made. They are learning about the giving of his life and the gift of new hope through his resurrection. This means that they devoted themselves not only to study about Jesus, but also everything that they do, everything that they think, everything that they offer, everything that they say and act, they are all geared towards the Lordship of Christ. That's what we call centered in Christ. This affirms what Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 when he says, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." In other words, the early Christian community, this early Christian church, they get to know Jesus well. Because the more that they know Jesus, the more that they will love him. And the more that they will love him, the more that they can be able to love others. And the more that they will love others, the more that they will follow him. And the more that they follow him, the more that they will become more and more like Jesus. Do you see what I mean here? What Acts is trying to say to us? That a thriving church is a church that is truly focused in everything that we do on Jesus, getting to know him. And the more we become and become like Jesus, the lesser and lesser we become our old nature. The lesser we are able to be focused upon our own wants and focus more on what God wants us to do. So that's the first and foremost characteristic of a thriving church that is evident in early Christian community. They are all centered in Christ, which leads us to the next. Because they are centered in Christ, they are practicing spiritual disciplines. Let me point to you here on verse 42, part A. The language of continued steadfastly is been put here by the writer because Luke gives us, points us the disciples' intent to really trying their best, doing whatever they can. Because during that time, they were under persecution. The early Christian church are under extreme persecution. Can you imagine that they have to go underground for them to worship, to break breads together, to study the word of God? They are not out in the open, just like what we are doing here today. In fact, they don't have any buildings. They're probably meeting in caves in an agricultural community or setting in Jesus' time. So Luke, who is the author of the Acts of the Apostles, is trying to say they continued steadfastly. That's the word, proskasterontes. It's in the Greek word that points us to how disciples are so faithful in regularly adhering to teachings and fellowship and breaking bread and prayer. They're learning about Jesus' life. But not only that, I want us to notice the word fellowship here. They always come together in fellowship. When you hear that word fellowship, what first comes into your mind? Friendship. Relationships. Koinonia is the word that was used here in Greek word. Have you heard the word koinonia? Koinonia means fellowship. Many people are familiar with the word koinonia. It means sharing, shared life together. And most of the fellowship are being done here in the context of breaking bread. When the Acts of the Apostle mentioned the word breaking of the bread, it can mean two things. It can mean actually coming together and actually partaking the dinner time, because they always meet at homes, breaking bread. This early Christian community not only meet and break the bread together, they're also practicing spiritual discipline of remembering the Lord's Supper. And this is where the dinner church model movement came from. That's the reason why dinner church is exponentially growing in all America and even beyond. Because they have tried to bring back this early model of what it means to come together on the dinner table. Are you with me, church? And that's what the early Christian movement is doing. A thriving church always comes together for meals, for fellowship, for breaking bread together. A thriving church also is a prayerful church. Notice here in verse 2, not only that a thriving church devoted themselves in teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of the bread, they also what come together in what? In prayer. In other words, this early Christian community recognized the power of prayer in everything that they do. The one thing that Jesus desired for his church was that it would be a house of prayer. Not a house of daycare, not a house of outreach programs, though they are important, but a house of prayer. That's why when God sent us here at Plank Chapel in Bethel, the first thing that we did is to have an intentional prayer time every week. And I hope that you will continue on to be part of that. We meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock online, so that you will have no reason to say that I'm working or I'm doing this thing, so that you can be where you are and participate online. And we have people who are faithful. John and Patricia, thank you, Greg, for bringing them to the prayer time. They're just two saints that are part of this prayer group that meets. And if Miss Patricia and John can do it, why cannot we? Amen? So a thriving church is a church that is a house of prayer. But also a thriving church is always together. Are you with me, church? Always together. Notice here on verse 44. All who believed were together. And they gathered and had all things in common. Because they are together, they have all things together. And they continue that thread of unity. They have all things in common. They have koinonia. Church, the more we gel together, the more that we can be a thriving church. Did you know that? One thing that fascinates me about ants. How many of you have a problem with ants? I know Judy always have a problem with ants. One thing that fascinates me about ants is how they bonding together. I've seen a video one time when they are able to move in a riverbed. Because they cluster together, they form one another, and there are hundreds and hundreds of ants coming together, and the mother queen was at the middle of that ant. But because they are together, they were able to float on the riverbed and move from one place to the other. When we all bonded together as a community of faith, we can be able to withstand everything that this life will be on us. And finally, a thriving church is a church that is giving to others generously. Notice on verse 45, they sold their what? Their possessions and goods and distributed them according to anyone need. And this sharing was done over and over again. And some believers undoubtedly have considerable need. Some have dropped their nets and they left their boats to follow Jesus. And that's where others come in to support those who are in need. Church, a thriving congregation is a giving congregation. And as a result of all of this, when a church is a church that is centered in Christ, when a church practices the spiritual discipline of teaching and fellowship and breaking of the bread and prayer, when we always come together, when we give to others generously, Here's the expectant result on verse 47. Notice on verse 47 what it says there. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. The Lord rewards a thriving congregation with more souls on His vineyard. So, church, as we gather to this table this morning, Jesus invites us to reclaim what it means to be a thriving church. And we can do that only if we are centered in Christ. Only if we are open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. May we be part of that movement. And may it be so. Let us pray. Father God, we are grateful for your church and for the gift of the Christian community across this world, and more particularly right here in the heart of Kitrell called Plank Chapel. We're grateful for all the saints that have laid the foundation as we reclaim again and again that we are truly a growing and a vibrant church. We resist and desist an attempt for us to merely survive, or worse, to decline. And thank you, God, that you have called the faithful church servants of Plank Chapel to doing whatever it takes for us to follow your will. Help us to model the Acts Church that is centered in Christ, that practices spiritual discipline, that is a house of prayer, that always together, giving to others generously, and as a result, experiencing growth and transformation. In the name of Jesus that we pray.